I didn't write out a message, so I've been praying, and the Lord's put a couple things on my heart. Last night I shared some of you guys heard this, but I talked a little bit about the end times, how urgent the situation is that we're living in. Apostle Paul's time, he said that we're called to redeem the time, for the days are evil. How much more in the day we're living in today, with iniquity abounding, with false prophets all over the place, with judgments all over the land. And I went over that a little bit yesterday. I could run through it. But in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, those are the main passages in the Gospels on the end times. And he gives us an outline. The disciples ask him, what should be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus goes through a couple things. And then at the end he says, this generation shall not pass away till all these things have come to pass. I believe we're actually in that generation, so I believe we're very close. So we should be redeeming the time daily, more than ever before. But Jesus said, many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Correlate that with 2 Thessalonians 2, that we're not to be alarmed by spirit or by letter that day has come, for there must be first a falling away first, and then shall that man of sin be revealed. So a falling away in the church, it doesn't mean there's going to be less churches per capita. There's more. It's just not going to be the true faith of the gospel. And if you'll just read the book of Acts, and you'll compare it to the church today, it's not looking good. It's not a pretty picture. Well, that's the first sign. And that has to happen. Because if the church is being salt, God has given the church to check evil. If the church is being a light, and evil will be at bay, it will be checked. But when the church loses its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. And the church is not being a salt. They're not being savored. They have no flavor. Okay, they have no life. They would put salt, you know, if a conquering army would conquer a land, they put salt on the ground so no fruit could grow thereon. And so we need salt so that the evil can't grow, to check the evil. But we're not being salt overall in the church today. And that's not this church, but overall a corporate church in America is not being salt. And what is salt? 2 Corinthians 2:15-17 talks about being a savor of life unto life to those that believe we should be, and a savor of death unto death to those that are perishing. I believe that's what salt is. That's what being savor is. We're called to do that. Every word, thought, and deed that you speak should be salty. Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Everything you say should have an end to bring them back to the gospel, so that the Holy Spirit can get in there and reprove them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. But that was the first thing that would happen. You can correlate that with Revelation 6. There will be this white horse, and he'll have power, have a crown to conquer and to conquer. And I believe going forth conquering and to conquer. And I believe that's false Christianity. That's the spirit of Antichrist. That's this Baal worship. That's this false Jesus in 2 Corinthians 11 that's taking over. It's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible, because holiness is never mentioned, because he doesn't hate sin, because he's not going to repay the people for their sins. But the God of this Bible will, and he will in no wise clear the guilty. And no unrighteous person shall inherit the kingdom of God. But the Jesus in these churches is chilling. He doesn't care about sin. He'll allow you to justify and get away with it. And that's not the Jesus of the Bible. It says in 2 Peter chapter 2, for there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. And many, meaning the most, shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. What's that way of truth? I believe that's the straight gate of regeneration, being born again, dying to yourself, being resurrected to walk in newness of life, to worship Him in spirit and truth, and then denying yourself down this narrow way, walking with carefulness, having a clearing of yourselves before the Lord. But the false prophets are preaching an opposite message, to chill, to be loose, to use the grace of God as a license to sin. In other words, the very opposite of what's happening. And there's no check on evil. And now evil is abounding in the world, because there's nothing to check it. And we've been in New York, and I was sharing a little bit with y'all. It is bad up there. And evil is abounding. And the church isn't doing anything about it. The church has got more of the world in it than the world just about, it seems. Mm-hmm. And it's much worse because they claim to believe the Bible. Yeah. And that's why they'll receive greater damnation. And that's why a lot of people don't go to church because of the hypocrisy. My dad has the same problem. That really affects a lot of people, because they see the hypocrisy in the church. And that's why God is going to require that of us, because we name the name of Christ. So we make sure we shouldn't be hypocrites, and that we're not double-minded, but that we're single-minded, seeking first the kingdom of God. And though they call us extreme, and though they call us fanatics, because that's what they said about the early church, that's what they said about Jesus, at least they'll know that we're not hypocrites. Okay? That we love the Lord, and that we're doing what is written in this book, and we stand for what it says, and we're willing to die for that truth. They're looking for that. They want to believe that. We've got to show them. Well, after that, in Luke chapter 21, next he says, then they're going to have wars and rumors of wars, and kingdoms rise against kingdom, and nation against nation. But this is the beginning of sorrows. So that's been happening for years. It's all over the place. There's wars and rumors of wars all over the place. I haven't been on the internet lately. I can't imagine what it's like in the Middle East right now. But then it said, after that, then you're going to have pestilences and famines and earthquakes and fearful signs in the heavens. And I believe we're seeing that too. We're seeing it's like a woman when she travails in birth. It gets worse and worse right before that baby is born, right? Well, in the world, it's travailing in birth until that day when the Lord shall consume this place with fire, and He'll come in flaming fire with His mighty angels taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And I believe that. So what manner of men ought we to be in this day and age with this urgent time, this urgent situation, with evil abounding, iniquity abounding? Then it says after that, then they're going to take you up to the synagogues and to the prisons before all these things around that same time. And that's going to be the church. A lot of people in the church are going to be betraying people in the church. It was the same thing during Jesus Christ's time. In fact, a lot of people believed in the book of John that Jesus was the Christ, the chief of the synagogues and the rulers, but they wouldn't confess His name for fear of being kicked out of the synagogues, because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And we've actually been kicked out of the synagogues. But that's why you got to fear the Lord. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil. That's why the fear of God is important. You've got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus said to His friends in love, He loved them, and He said, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, but after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear Him who after He hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear Him. And the fear of the Lord is clean. It's precious. You need it. It's the greatest gift you could have in your life. Isaac was dedicated to God's fear. And we need that more than anything in light of the times that we're going into, because you might have to die for the Lord at this time. You might see some real persecution, even get physical. Real stuff. Okay, and we're seeing it, and then it says after that, then you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Christians have always been hated. But that's talking about another level of hatred, I believe. You're going to be hated. We're going to be more and more outcast, more and more ostracized, more and more irrelevant, because the world is loving sin more and more. The devil is getting more and more control, framing mischief by law, changing laws against us. And they are going to hate you because you're going this narrow way that absolutely condemns everything that they believe. They absolutely condemn sin, every word, thought, and deed. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then shall the end come during that time. And I believe we're going to see persecution. Isaiah 66:5 is one of my favorite verses. Hear the word of the Lord. Ye that tremble at His word. Do y'all tremble at God's word? Then that would apply to you. Hear the word of the Lord. Ye that trembled at His word. Your brethren, which cast you out of the synagogue, said, let the Lord be glorified, but He shall appear to your joy, to the joy of those that trembled at God's word, and to their shame. So tremble at God's word, and you will have joy when He appears, because you'll be like Him, because you'll see Him as He is. But He's going to appear to the shame of a lot of people calling themselves Christians, because they've embraced the wrong Jesus. They've embraced the wrong gospel. And the problem with that is the reason we need to stand up and try to help them is because there's only one gospel that's the power of God and the salvation to them that believe, not this false gospel. That's why in Galatians chapter 1, Apostle Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from the grace of God unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Why? Let him be accursed. That means damned, eternally cursed. Why? Because a false gospel won't save them. It's going to patch them up enough to live in this life with a good conscience and think they're going to heaven. They're going to stand before the Lord. And they're going to be Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many shall say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name and cast out devils in thy name? And do many wonderful works, and I will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And this is on the day of judgment. This is deception at its apex. It's unbelievable how deceived you could be. His eyes are like a flame of fire. His face exceeds the brightness of the sun. And they're arguing with Jesus Christ on the day of judgment. Did we not do this and did we not do that? That's deception. And we should fear and we should tremble at that. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. Isaiah 66:2. Proverbs 13:13, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. We need to fear the commandment. We need to fear the Lord. We're going to need it in the days that are coming upon this land. After that, he goes through a number of other things that would happen. And then he says, this generation will not pass away till all these things have come to pass. And I really believe we're probably there. Okay, so how should we live in light of that? That's what I want to talk about today. I want to go over Phinehas in Numbers 25. I want to read the story.
Amen.
And give you a couple of thoughts on it. I felt like the Lord wanted me to do this. And I haven't really read this lately, but the Lord was putting it on my heart. So I hope it will speak to someone. Numbers 25. And y'all understand the context of this. This is right after Balaam and Balak. This is when Israel went to go through the king's highway through Moab. They were going to go into the promised land. And Balak wouldn't let them do it. They said, we won't buy anything. We're not going to mess with you. No, we'll buy, but we won't steal anything. We're not going to fight you. Just let us go through. And Balak, the king of Moab, would not let them do this. And so he knew that he couldn't defeat them militarily. So he tried to hire a man, a false prophet named Balaam, to put a curse on Israel. And then Balaam tries to curse Israel. And you can't curse the people that's blessed. As long as they were right with God, they're under that covering, they're untouchable. And that's the same for you guys. As long as you stay right with the Lord, you are covered by Jesus Christ. And the devil cannot touch you. And he can't do anything that's not according to God's will. Everything will be for your good. It's like Samson. Samson's hair was his strength, his covering, right? But once Delilah got in there and cut that hair, he was weaker than other men. And the Philistines could take him out. And if Satan can get you to sin against the Lord, you will be weaker than other men if you're really a Christian, because you're cast your burdens upon the Lord. You're not your own. He is your strength now. And so if Satan gets you to sin against him, that's the only way he can touch you. So the thing you need to fear is fear itself, because that's a sin against the Lord. So be careful not to sin against God, and you'll be covered. That's what Balaam, that was the doctrine of Balaam, it talks about in Revelation 2 and 3, and God hates that, the doctrine of Balaam. But I wanted to show you one thing about this, because this puts fear of God in me. In this story, in Numbers 22 at the very beginning, and then I'm going to get to Phinehas. It says in verse 12, this is after that Balak had sent people to ask Balaam to curse Israel, to come back and curse Israel. And this was God's response. When he went to speak to God, this was God's response. And God said unto Balaam in verse 12, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. That was God's first answer. That's what he said. Okay, you don't need to be adding unto his words. You don't need to be looking for anything else. If you've heard from the Lord, that's it. Amen. Yes, sir. If he's your Lord. Right? Well, Balaam had a little issue. He was a hireling, I believe. He was in it for the money. He was in it for himself. He wasn't right with the Lord. And so, at first, he said, I can't do it. God can't do it. But then it says in verse 15, Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they, because he wanted another answer. And Balaam was very tempted by that, and a false prophet would be, because they're in it for the money. They're in it for the money. And so, eventually, in verse 18, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God, to do more or less. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. He wants another answer. He wants God to add unto his word. He has itching ears. That's what he wants. And if you mess with the Lord, if you tempt God, be careful. He'll tell you what you want to hear, and then you'll go to hell. Anyway, the next verse. This is the next verse. It says, and God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. It seems like he changed his answer, that's God doesn't want what he wanted before now. He says, you can go with them now. Before, he didn't say you could go with them. Well, he did change his answer for him because he tempted the Lord and he got what he deserved. And look at the response of God. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass and his two servants were with him. God's anger. God had said go. And his anger was kindled because he should have stuck with the first answer. If God says do something, amen, yes sir. Amen. Otherwise, you put yourself in danger if you have itching ears. Well, that's what a lot of people have today. They want to believe that they can have the world and God too. And so that God gives them false prophets to speak to them after their own lusts. And then judgment's going to come upon them. They're still going to go to hell. That's why you need a true prophet. You need to get a real preacher that's going to tell you what you need to do and not what you want to hear. Not what your flesh wants. You're not to puff up your flesh or bandage it. The true cross, the gospel, is an offense. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us that believe it, it's the power of God. Why is it foolishness? Because it says you must die to yourself. It says you must lose your life that you might find your life. That is foolishness. A false prophet would say, enjoy your life. Like Joel Osteen, your best life now. Puff up the flesh. Bandage it up a little bit. Try to be a good person on your own. The Bible says go to the cross. And be dead with Him that you might live with Him. It is a faithful saying, for if you be dead with Him, you shall live with Him. If you suffer with Him, you shall be resurrected with Him. If you deny Him, He will deny you. If you believe not, yet He abides faithful. He cannot deny Himself. 2 Timothy 2. So I wanted to show you that because that puts fear in me. That's the same thing with the Israelites. I believe it's in Numbers. In fact, I'll show it because this is very powerful. A lot of people haven't seen this. It's in Numbers 11. And then we're going to get to Phinehas. But it's the same doctrine. It's this, don't tempt the Lord. Anyway, Numbers 11, verse 18. Say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before Him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? They tempted the Lord. They wanted flesh. They weren't satisfied with just the manna from heaven. They weren't satisfied in this context today with just Christ, with just the Word of God, with just the things of God, the people of God. They want the world too. They want to go to the movies. They want to watch television. They want the world. They love the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these things are not of the Father, not of the Father God, but they're of the world. And the lust of the world, and the things thereof pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, it's interesting the correlation here. They wanted flesh. Just like in the world, everyone wants flesh. They want to appease their flesh, and satisfy their flesh, and indulge their flesh. Okay, the Bible is, he that's greatest among you will be your servant. Deny your flesh. Walk in spirit and truth. And so here God does the same thing again. God says, okay, you're going to have flesh until it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord. So you have to be careful. In verse 30, it says, and Moses gat him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel, and there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord smote against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of the place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. Again, God gave him what he wanted. If you want the world, he's going to give you someone that tell you that you can have the world, and then his wrath is going to come upon you. Because you've made an idol god. You weren't thankful. You didn't glorify him as God. You made another god, and he'll give you up. That's why you need the fear of God. You've got to tremble at this book, and you've got to say, Lord, thy truth will be my truth. Thy way will be my way. Thy reality will be my reality. And thy will, my will. And you study the Word. And if he says it in his Word, you say, yes, sir, amen. Even if you don't want to hear it. Because that's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So go into Phinehas. After that, the story goes that he tries to curse the people of Israel, but he couldn't do it because they were blessed. And so he told Balak, it's not written here, but it's implied. And you can find it in Revelation chapter 2. He told Balak that if he will cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel and get them to sin against the Lord, then that's the only way that you can touch them. Otherwise, you can't mess with them because God is for them. Who can be against them? So try to get them to sin against God. Verse 25, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Moab is can consider it a type of the world, or you can consider it a type of false Christianity. Moab, it's in 25. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Moab was the daughter of Lot and an incestuous relation with his daughter. Okay? And so that's kind of a type of the church or a righteous man and then the world, committing fornication with the world. And look at the fruit. Look at the children of the church today, how they are. It doesn't look anything like your Spurgeons and your Wesleys and your Whitfields. It doesn't look like the people in the book of Acts or true Christians. It looks a little different, but they're not like the world. And a lot of them even have some zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. Okay, and that's the problem. That's exactly what happened here. That's the spiritual meaning. And this book is meant to be taken literally, and it's got spiritual meanings. And 2 Corinthians 6:14 says to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, righteousness with unrighteousness, Christ with Belial? Paul is quoting, I believe, out of Deuteronomy 22:10. He's totally spiritualizing it. It says, do not unequally yoke together an ass and an ox. And you'll see that all through the Scripture. This book is alive. But you need the Spirit. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The natural mind cannot understand the things of God, neither can he know them. For they are foolishness unto him because they are spiritually discerned. So you guys need the Spirit. And the only way that he's going to show you is you've got to get rid of sin. Get right with the Lord. And then this book will come alive and it will be your delight. And you will delight in the law of the Lord after the inward man. You'll delight in it day and night. And that will be your entertainment. Not the world. You won't even want the flesh. You won't even want it. Numbers 25. So, the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. Because they sinned against the Lord, and that little leaven spread down, they're committing idolatry. So first they're committing fornication, but you give the devil an inch and he'll take a mile. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, be not deceived. A little hypocrisy will leaven the whole lump. That's what happened to the scribes and Pharisees. It probably started by a little tiny compromise, and then they become Pharisees. 1 Timothy 1:5-7. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling or talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, neither understanding what they teach nor where they affirm. They're Pharisees. How did they get there? How did they get there? Desiring to be teachers of the law, neither understanding what they teach nor where they affirm. How did they get there? Go back to verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. They disobeyed their conscience. They went against clear light because they didn't want to hear it. And if you go against light, that light that God gives you, you will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand or the left. But if you deny that, you put yourself in danger. And that little compromise, that little leaven, can spread until you become a Pharisee, desiring to be a teacher of the law, neither understanding what they teach nor where they affirm, a blind leader of the blind. That's how they got blind, because they disobeyed the clear light, first of creation, and then of whatever else the Lord told them through the Scripture. They denied it. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to die because they didn't hate their lives. They loved their lives, and so they wanted to keep their lives. And the only way to know God is you've got to die, because this flesh is cursed and this world is cursed. And if you touch that cursed thing in Deuteronomy, a cursed thing, you will be a cursed thing like it. So you don't touch the world. Okay? And you obey the Lord. He leads you to the cross. And you die, and then you're resurrected ever to walk in newness of life. And the things of heaven become your joy and your delight. And the things of the world truly will grow strangely dim. But that's when you're born from above. If you're born from here, you love the world. Everyone did when I was of the world. I love the world. That's why you must be born again. You must be saved. You must go to the cross. I didn't mean to get off on such a tangent. Verse 3. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. Right now, His anger is against the church that's worshiping a false Jesus. His anger is upon this land. That's why He has false prophets. You read in Isaiah 5, one of the greatest judgments God can put on a land is false prophets. And that's the start. And then you're going to see more and more. And His anger was on Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay every one of his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They were weeping, but it seems like they weren't doing anything about it. And this guy was so bold to bring a Midianitish woman into the people of God, right into their faces. And that's what's happening today. They're bringing another Jesus right into the churches, right in front of our faces. And we're not saying anything. Jesus said the zeal of his house had eaten him up. And so he went out there and he cast out all those people that were selling doves and oxen in his house and in God's temple for the Lord, because he loved the Lord. And we've got to get in there and do something. We've got to be disturbed. Apostle Paul's spirit was stirred within him because of the idolatry, and he was all by himself. He was waiting for Silas and Timothy in Acts 17. They had it come. He's by himself. And he was so stirred that he disputed in the marketplace. He disputed in the synagogues. He disputed with the devout person, with everyone. And that's what we have to be. That's the Holy Spirit. If you're walking with the Lord, He will drive you to do that, and He will be with you. But you've got to be zealous. There's a man named Phinehas that was zealous, and we need to be like Phinehas. So I'm going to keep going. Look at this great example of zeal. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. What's our javelin? The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. That's your javelin that you need. Amen. Take that in your hand and learn it and know it, and it's sharp, and make it sharp and wield it sharply and use it. And he took that javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent, and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. There's a lot of people that are still alive, okay? Mark them, it says in Romans 16, which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts and minds of the simple. They're serving their own bellies. They're alive. They're living for this life. They need to die. Spiritually, they need to die. And that's why you have to wield the sword firmly and sharply, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it must be. Jeremiah 48:10, cursed. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and that keepeth back the sword from shedding blood. Because that's the gospel. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you by the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. And if they're preaching a gospel that says you don't have to die, they're not going to do it. I wouldn't have done it either. And if there's no fear of God, they're not going to do it. Because you don't love God in the flesh. The God of the Bible, you don't. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And cannot love God. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8:8. So the flesh has to die. By fear of God, men depart from evil. Okay, and by fear of God, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. It's got to be truth, the true gospel. Then you've got mercy. And then you have the fear of God. And then you'll depart from evil. But they're not preaching a Jesus Christ that's worthy to be feared. If they were preaching this book, they would be, though. And people would fear. And like in the book of Acts, whenever, in the first five chapters, they were all in one accord, it says five times. Indirectly, it says they were in unity seven times. They also had the fear of God on all of them. They had the joy, went hand in hand with that. And God added to their numbers daily. But we need that, and that's because they were preaching the Word sharply. That's because they knew the Word. And they loved the Word, and they loved the Lord, and they weren't going to compromise it. And they understood that one little compromise, just to dampen the Word a little bit for people, that would just disannul the whole point. That would disannul the whole sword, where it doesn't get in there, it doesn't slay the flesh. And so they're still alive and trying to serve God in the flesh, and flesh and blood cannot please God.
Yeah.
So, Phinehas went in there and took the javelin in his hand, and he went after this man. And he smote him. He thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. That's what we need to be. We need to be so zealous that it turns God's wrath away from these people and from this nation. You need to be like Phinehas and get out there, no matter what. And Phinehas was a young guy, by the way. He was a young man. He's probably in his 20s at this point in time. So it doesn't matter. God will use anyone that's willing to do it, that's willing to surrender no matter what the cost. And the cost could be your life. That's willing to have that sentence of death in themselves, that they should not live into themselves, but God that raised the dead. And if you're dead to yourself and alive to God, you are an army in yourself, if you're wholly surrendered to God. And I believe this, that one man fully surrendered to God cannot comprehend the amount of good that he will do in his sphere of influence. Can't even until the day of judgment, you won't know how much good you did just by being fully surrendered to God. But at the same time, one person that's hypocritical in their faith cannot comprehend the amount of damage that they will do to those around them. Until the day of judgment, you will see how much damage that you really did. So don't be hypocritical. Be wholly surrendered to the Lord. going on. I'll read the rest of this, and I want to go to Joel 2. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. He shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. That's the seed that we need to be of right there. That seed, that was the seed of Jesus Christ. That zeal, Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ right there that was in him. Now the name of Israel, the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianite woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of the chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianite woman that was slain was Cosbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. And it's interesting that it was a prince of the house of the Simeonites. Simeon means hearer, the hearers, but they're not doers of the word. And that's what we got in the church today, a lot of Simeonites in that sense. And then the woman's name was Cosbi, and Cosbi means deceitful liar. So that's just interesting. I would like to go to Joel 2. I've never preached on this before, but it correlates well with that, and this is, I think, what the Lord wanted me to share with y'all today. This is one thing, as well as Phinehas. And y'all should read it for yourself and meditate on it. I didn't get to meditate on it very long. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share it. All right, Joel chapter 2, verse 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for His land and pity His people. And then the Lord will raise up people like Phinehas, and He'll be jealous for us. But we've got to pray and we've got to weep and we've got to be broken, because it is bad out there. It is so bad. And there's a lot of Christians, there's a lot of them are praying, and God's not even going to hear their prayers, because there's divisions among them. There's sin. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayers. But it doesn't take a lot. When two or three are gathered in my name, a small number, as long as there's unity, then I'm there in the midst of them. And those prayers are powerful. So I would encourage you guys to be praying and turn this world upside down. And then the Lord will be jealous for you if you're zealous for Him, like Phinehas was. And I want to finish just by exhorting y'all a little bit. We were talking a lot about grace through faith, and you're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. Amen. And it says about Abraham in Romans 4:3, but Abraham believed God and was accounted unto him for righteousness. My question to y'all, what did that belief do in his life? What did it look like? Well, he left his home, his family. He went to all of his gods. He went to a land that he had never been to. He sojourned there for over 100 years. And then he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. That's saving faith, what it will do to you guys as well. And he was a stranger and a pilgrim. You'll be a stranger and a pilgrim in this world, and you'll love it, and you'll be blessed like faithful Abraham, if you'll do that. I wanted to actually share one other thing before I quote some scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians 4. And this is very intense. 2 Corinthians 4:8. Apostle Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Can y'all relate to that at all? I hardly can. And that's all we do, is go preach the word all the time. I hardly can relate to that. Why is this happening to them? Why? Why not us? I believe the next verse tells us why. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And it will, When people get saved and they praise God for it, that glorifies the Lord. So go save as many souls as you can by God's grace. And that will glorify the Lord and will redound to His glory. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I'm reading through George Whitefield's journals, and he says this same statement multiple times. The more I found, the more that I do, the more that I would do. And I agree with that completely. If you'll go all out, then you'll have more grace than you could comprehend. Then you'll be shocked at how much you can do for the Lord. But if you don't do much, you're not going to be able to do much because God's not going to give you grace. Because Proverbs 11:25 is true. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So the more you water, and the more you do what you hear, the more God's going to give you, the more revelation, the more of the Word, the more joy as well. Even the more persecution and tribulation, you're going to have more consolation in that. But you're not going to have it unless you get out there and speak the truth in love, like these guys were doing. You'll never be able to have these things, but you should. We should. We should. We've seen it on a minor scale, but nothing like this. But I wanted to share that with y'all, and I do believe that's one of the main evidence that you love the Lord. Matthew 10, if you confess Him before men, He will confess you before His Father in heaven. But if you deny Him before men, then He also will deny you before His Father. It says in Luke 12, before His holy angels. You don't want to be denied before those holy angels. One of them slew over 100,000 men, I believe, in the Old Testament in one night. So you don't want to mess with those guys. I'm serious. And if you're right with Jesus Christ, then they'll love you. The holy angels, they'll watch out for you. They'll be ministering spirits for your good. But not if you play the fool with the Lord. So don't play the fool with the Lord. Be real with God. And I wanted to exhort y'all, by the grace of God, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God I am what I am. Amen. But His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than the rest. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And I exhort all of y'all to have that same testimony. It's all of grace. Amen. Grace through faith. But go all out for the Lord. Go all out. That will please Him. That will be glorifying to Him. And you'll be rewarded accordingly. Lay up treasures in heaven. And don't go before the Lord on that day of judgment and have no one there standing with you. Honor God, and God honors those that honor Him with your time, word, thought, deed, with everything. And He'll give the increase. And go, he that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. But if you sow abundantly, you'll reap abundantly as well. So get out there and share the word and be bold for the Lord. A couple other verses that I would like to talk about. Romans 12, 1-2, I heard you quote it earlier. By the mercies of God, I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe Paul was doing that in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. He says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I should be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, I might magnify the Lord in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's presenting your body a living sacrifice. Paul is an imitation, saying we're supposed to be like Paul. Sure, you're not going to write 13 epistles in the New Testament. But still, you should be like Paul and wholly follow after the Lord. You should be running just as hard as him. Because it's one way of salvation. It's one way. And highway shall be there, and a way. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. But the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And the way of righteousness is life, and the pathway thereof there is no death. So that's what we need to do, and it's the same way Jonathan Edwards went on, same way John Wesley went on, same way Apostle Paul went on. It's the same way. Though you might not have the mind of Jonathan Edwards, you might not have the epistles of Apostle Paul, you can still have the zeal. You can still run more abundantly and labor more abundantly than the rest, and God will give you more grace. He'll help you, and you'll bear fruit, and it'll all be worth it, and you'll stand before God unashamed because you did all that you could do, and that's my desire. The same before him, just well done now, good and faithful, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And if you do many things, Luke 17:10, wherefore, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done only that which was our duty to do. So I would commend y'all to run the race that's set before you, despising the shame, just like Jesus did. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Sprint with all of your heart. I therefore run not as uncertainly, so fight I, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's the rhetoric of Scripture. And he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth into things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. One thing I do. He was obsessed. He was single-minded. He was singly seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Same thing as David in Psalm 27:4, who was a man after God's own heart. One thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold His beauty and to inquire in His temple. Can y'all say that with David? Can y'all say that with Paul? That's the way of righteousness. That's cleaving to the Lord with purpose of heart. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be of the workers of iniquity. Is it y'all's joy to do that? Do y'all want to run the race with them? Are you sprinting? Are you trying to win? That's the call. 1 Peter 4 says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? The righteous, Paul, scarcely saved. Peter, scarcely saved. That should scare you. That scares me. That's amazing. That'll put the fear of God in you. Scarcely saved. And we've got to go the same way to heaven and few find it. So you cannot take this God for granted. You cannot make a fool. You can't mock God. God is not mocked, but fools make a mock at sin. Don't mock sin. And run. And if you'll run and you'll serve God, He'll give you grace. If you neglect God, be careful. There's going to be a breach in your spirit and you're going to have all these temptations that you wouldn't have. But if you do what's right in God's eyes and you please God, He'll cover you. He'll cover you in the blood. He'll fill you with the Spirit and you'll be renewed in the inner man day by day if you're being obedient. And it'll be your joy. You'll be rejoicing in suffering. And you will suffer, though, in the flesh, but your spirit will be rejoicing in your inner man. And this world will grow strangely dim, and you'll say with Paul, to live is Christ, to die is gain. We are confident, I say willing rather, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
And it's no joke. It's true. It's true. It can't have. It's just God. It's supernatural. And you'll have a peace of God that passes all understanding to keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, a witness of the Spirit. And I have more joy than I've ever comprehended. I also sorrow more than I've ever sorrowed, though, because sin is going to vex you a lot more. And all these people going to hell, that will bother you. If you're right with the Lord, it bothers you. It hurts. It vexes you day to day to see all the apostasy in the church. And even your own sins are more real. Apostle Paul first said, I'm the least of all the apostles in 1 Corinthians 10. Then he said, I'm the least of all saints in Ephesians 3. And then he says, I'm the chief of all sinners. And that's chronological, I believe. Because sin was becoming more real to him as he got more light and God increased in him, that he would decrease. He saw himself more and more as he was. Though, outwardly, he was running. He was holy man of God. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord.
Amen.
So, I certainly love you guys. I'd like to pray just to close us out. And that's pretty much the message.